here.
I just wanted to clarify, you seem to suggest that Newton's and some of these earlier scientists, although they believed in God, their findings did not prove the existence of God. And I wanted to clarify that along the same line, modern scientists also do not have within their, have not proved the non-existence of God. That scientism, as Catholicism and other philosophies, is a frame of mind and is a frame of looking at the world, and it has its limits as other things do, as other approaches do as well.
Science is a way of looking at the world. The curious thing about the careers of Newton and the others is that the message that the world at large took from their achievement, which you call scientism, is...
No, I don't refer to them as scientists. I refer to the modern scientists as working within the realm of scientism. Like science can prove ultimate things that are beyond the literally physical.
The moral that modern day culture has drawn from the achievements of Newton and these people is ironically quite contrary to the moral that Newton himself would have drawn from them.
Okay, I just wanted to from what I understand, the existence of God can neither be proven nor disproven, and I think some of your remarks perhaps indicate or suggest otherwise. And I also want to also indicate, at least in the state of science at the current state, it does not reach that point of going beyond the physical into what basically is the spiritual.
Okay.
I just finished reading a book about Einstein, and I wondered whether Newton's grasp of mathematics would have enabled him to deal with such concepts. I think he discovered calculus, didn't he? Or he was one of the people who did, and I wondered how far his grasp of mathematics went in terms of what came later.
Newton was an astonishingly able mathematician. Newton was one of the strangest... he was an astonishingly able mathematician. Newton was one of the strangest people who ever lived, a bad-tempered, sharp-elbowed, nasty, sullen, solitary man. He was born, it so happened, on Christmas Day. His father had died 3 months before he was born. And he thought from the get-go that there was something special about him. What was special was that God had whispered his secrets into his ear. He, Newton, alone had a pipeline to cosmic insight, which sounds completely nonsensical, except that at age 20, when his university shut down and he was sent home, shut down because of the plague, this undergrad, not especially distinguished, sits down studying on his own, becomes the leading mathematician in the world. It almost seems as if his notion that he had been tapped with a magic wand was so. Could Newton have understood Einstein's mathematics? There's an awful lot in between. He certainly would have been a good pupil in a crash course. He would have caught on pretty quickly.
I have a question about your process. Forgive me for not having found your other books before this, but...
you are forgiven.
What or who led you to the Clockwork Universe? I mean, was it a fascination with Isaac Newton? Was it a fascination with astronomy and watching the planets move? Was there something specific that kicked you off to get you into writing about these people in their own time? Because you're right, we do see them through our lenses as being modern humans, and not with their time period.
Newton had a bizarre life, and so he's quite a fascinating character. So there was that. But more than the biographies, what I was interested in was this business of what was it like to see something or to think something for the first time. Nowadays, if you were to be told, here's a microscope and look at the pond, this is an assignment, and if you don't see the right things, they come and they show you how to adjust them, and you know that there are critters there. When you don't know that, and you're idly looking, because you're looking at everything, and then to see that the world that you can't see is teeming with life, and the life is complicated, it's just as complicated as the life all around you, what that was like for the first time, that's what I wanted to know. One of the lessons that our people deduced from this is they said, my God, what a creator. All these things that no one had ever seen turn out to be perfect. It was as if you have a furniture maker who does a beautiful job on the underside of the table that no one's ever going to see. And if you look down there and there's all kinds of gorgeous filigree work, you think, wow. That's what they thought when they looked through microscopes. And then they looked through telescopes and they saw the same thing. At a place where human eyes can't penetrate, there are stars, there's comets, there's all kinds of things. Why did God do such things? How did that come to be? So you have this amazement of, we had no idea the universe contained such things, and no one but us has ever seen them. It was like, this is an era when people are discovering new continents, that kind of thing, and this is much better than a new continent. These are whole new worlds.
This is such a profound and serious subject, and as you see by the questions, it's obviously something that makes everybody think about the way that they view the world and how evidence is generated. But it's about time somebody gets a little light, because Ed, you are a storyteller, and that is one of your foremost skills in writing about serious subjects. So I'm going to lob you a question that drove my husband and I just mad in how to answer, which was, how did you know that Newton died a virgin? Best lines at the end of a chapter that I could ever imagine. And I just said, how would Ed know? So I'm going to throw that one at you, just to make it less serious than Plato, less serious than the Antichrist, less serious than the Reformation. Let's get down to the, you know, cute stuff.
Well, it's a good question. Newton lived to be an old man, and he proclaimed toward the end, he bragged to his doctor and to various friends that not only was he so old, but he was in fact old and distinguished, and in particular he had led a pure, chaste life through his entire life. One of the reason that he wanted to brag about such a thing was to show that he was above worldly and petty interests and had his mind only on deep and faraway things. He was such a pill, such an unpleasant character, that it's perfectly plausible. But at the time too, this was not an aberration unique to Newton. It was fairly common among scholars and sages at the time. This was the way that you showed that you were a deep fellow. Robert Boyle, his great contemporary, also bragged that he too had lived a long life and died a virgin. Yeah, well, he said that when he was a youth, he had felt boiling passion. He felt, but he had learned in later days to put a bridle on his passions. I was suspicious when I heard that. I'm more inclined to think he put a bridle on some poor London prostitute to make him care. But at any rate, such was the bragging in his day.